It doesn't.
Barry Sanders with a seam. Sanders with a cutback. And Sanders down the sideline. One to beat. Touchdown.
This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
Welcome back once again to the Pride of Detroit podcast, aka the podcast, because we are absolutely clever like that. We're running a four-man team tonight, so excuse us a second as we get through the introductions.
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. Thank you. You've already thrown me off my game. I'm Chris Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit. I am drinking a Moscow Mule. Find me on Twitter at MalkovichPlan. Let's go to next to Jeremy Reisman, fearless leader. I don't see him drinking anything.
I'm drinking a pink lemonade.
Out of a mason jar, I must say. Like a complete... He's on Twitter at Detroit on Lion. Very clever. Ryan Matthews, editor, hello. And what are you drinking there?
Hey, I just finished my beer. I might have to go get another one pretty soon. But I'm drinking the Labatt Blue Royale light because I'm watching my figure. Yeah.
What was your Twitter handle again?
At Ryan_POD, where Jeremy and Alex both helped me get over 60 followers. So
you're welcome.
Starting out.
Thank you.
And then the final voice there is Alex Reno, another writer.
Hello. Howdy.
I saw his drink earlier. He is drinking Killian's Irish Red. I think he might have finished too. At Alex_Reno. I'm going to remember all these. We're running a four-man crew tonight, so this is going to be fantastic.
We got to get that average back up to three after last week.
Yeah, we're kind of evening it out and everything. So we just had so much to talk about, but let's get to the quick hits real quick before we talk about what is undoubtedly going to be a fairly grim podcast. Actually, before we get to the quick hits, Reisman, you were stuck in SeaTac, from what I understand, with another writer, Chris Tomke from Pride of Detroit.
Yeah, he was keeping me sane for a little bit there, but I missed my first flight out back to LAX, and so I had to spend another 2 hours where constantly I ran into people with Seattle Seahawks jerseys, and the bars were all replaying the game, so I was just
constant reminder.
Yeah, I was living in Bill Murray's Groundhog Day.
But I mean, you went to the game. How was it all up there? I mean, Seattle people, man, you can say what you want about Seattle fans. They get down for their sports. They get down hard.
It was really interesting, and unlike San Diego week one, I spent the whole weekend in Seattle, so I got to experience pretty much the whole city and kind of its personality. And that's kind of why I wrote that that pump up piece right before the game on Monday, because I was really inspired by the environment there, where everyone is walking around with Seahawks jersey, knows no matter what day it is. I saw a bunch of their soccer team jerseys as well. You could just tell that these people were really into their team, really into sports, and just very passionate about it all, even though their team's 1-2 at the time and, you know, looking like they're in a little bit of trouble. They're still kind of rallying behind their team, and it was a really, really unique experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, man, that town needs the NBA back. They need the Sonics back.
Yeah, the Sonics were one of those teams too that was just like everyone seemed to like. Just kind of like, I don't know. I honestly like the Seahawks too. If we weren't playing them this week, I'd be probably rooting for them. They're a neat organization. Their colors are awesome.
I love the personality of their players too.
Yeah,
like outside of Russell Wilson, who's a brand of robot, like they all have some pretty witty things to
say. Yeah, I don't like Michael Bennett either.
Michael Bennett, yeah, those comments. I am convinced now he's trolling. Like that cannot be a real opinion he has.
I just hear that just and I'm can't. Like, what is this guy talking about? Like, I mean, why are you talking about JFK right now?
Does he hate the Cowboys as well? Or is it only like exclusive to Matthew Stafford? Like, has he researched where everyone was like born and went to high school and just decided to go only after the guys who are from Dallas? Or is this again a Matthew Stafford thing?
It's how he spends his Saturdays.
Clearly. Anyway, the quick hits. Might as well start with this. Speaking of that call that cost the Lions the game, which we have talked about nonstop now for, what, 48 hours? Stan Van Gundy. Yeah, Stan Van Gundy, head coach of your Detroit Pistons, basically came out and said that the Lions got screwed. He says, quote, "I know a guy like Jim Caldwell is trying to get his team better and trying to figure out what went wrong. I am telling you as a fan, we got screwed." He uses the fan "we" there. That's pretty cool. So I am not coming at that one as a coach. I'm coming at that one as a Detroit guy and a fan. You are 0-3 going into a tough place to play, and you got a chance to win the game. I just like that Stan Van Gundy suddenly become a Lions fan.
He kind of seems like he would be, even if he wasn't in Detroit.
He gave all that Florida stuff up. Miami, Orlando, he's come up to Detroit, and he seems to have bought into the program.
Well, that people in Florida aren't fans of Florida teams anyway, so.
I mean, it's probably easy to give up. Miami Heat, though.
But, Stan Van Gundy's a blue-collar man, that's why.
Look, all I will say is, if anyone knows about getting screwed, Stan Van Gundy is one of those guys who knows about getting screwed, because that's been his entire coaching career. He gets basically, like, kicked out of Orlando because of Dwight Howard, and then as he's putting together a Heat team that's going to make a championship run, Pat Riley comes in and just is like, no, I'm going to coach this now. That's been his life.
I mean, he also kind of looks like the guy who got lost, like he's part of the maintenance crew and he was in the locker room and like he was like fixing like a burst pipe. And then all of a sudden he just started screaming things and maybe like whatever coach was in the room decided to leave because they were frightened about this mustachioed man screaming all these commands.
His brother is Mike Van Gundy. But
Jeff Van Gundy?
Jeff, did I call? Oh, my God. So we've been drinking, so no, I mean, yeah, he's got that Jim Tom Sula like quality to him, doesn't he, on just how he looks, because Jim Tom Sula absolutely looks like that too, like he's just a maintenance guy that somehow got a coaching gig.
Well, Tom Sula, isn't he like the he does some like serious grunt work for the 49ers, doesn't he? Isn't he like the equipment manager or something?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure. Like, did you actually see that press conference? I think he farted at his own press conference.
Oh, that's adorable.
Like, he got someone picked up, the mics picked up someone farting.
Everybody farts, man.
Except for women.
Other note, former Lion tight end Dan Campbell is now the head coach in Miami for the Miami Dolphins.
Have fun, Dan. Have fun with that.
So, he's been talking fire and brimstone. He's like, we're going to come out and punch you in the mouth. We're going to skirt the line between dirty, and but we're not going to cross it. And I'm sure Ndamukong Suh is like, oh, really?
Huh? I was going to say, they have the right guy in the defensive line. He was probably rubbing his hands together, getting ready. He's like, what's all this talk about punching and maiming our opponents? Yeah, I like this guy. I'm glad.
I just like that Miami, after they fired Philbin, they're like, no, we don't want either of these coordinators. We're going to go to the tight ends coach, who was a failed blocking tight end from Detroit on the
very
Detroit
interesting
Lions.
Choice.
Yeah.
We're really good with those failing to block tight ends right about now, so
that
seems
true.
Kind of fitting.
That's true, although Brandon Pettigrew is coming back. Last note, the NFL has talked now about opening up plans to do more of the international series outside of London and the United Kingdom. They're going to be going elsewhere. This is
great.
Just going to keep expanding. Like, before we know it, like, you're going to have like two home games a season, pretty much.
Oh no!
If the Lions have the opportunity to play two games on neutral sites and they both count as road games, I'm all about it. So.
Oh, if they count as road games, sure. Yeah, I'd love that.
Absolutely.
I mean, we always seem to do pretty well over in London, in Wembley, anyway.
Well, we've only played once, right? Or no?
I thought we played twice.
That's 100% winning percentage, Alex.
That's true.
Yeah. So it wasn't pretty, but it worked. Well. Hey,
we have a 1,000 batting average going on right now in Wembley Stadium. Let's keep it intact.
It only took one heart attack from me, but they got it done.
One heart attack and Mike Smith completely.
Was that the Theo Riddick catch?
That was the Theo Riddick catch. Okay. That's the image.
That was a fun game, but it shouldn't have been that close.
Wait, I thought the Theo Riddick catch was the Dolphins.
I think he had multiple catches. He definitely had a catch in that Falcons game where it was one-handed over the middle.
Oh, that's right. That yeah, led to because of.
Oh, that was a beautiful catch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember.
I was talking about the touchdown, though. That I think you're right, Jeremy. That was the.
Yeah.
Do we need to go through any other notes here? I think that's about it. It is now like Pinktober. It is all over the place in the NFL. I almost forgot that
God.
We did this. And it always feels like this lasts way too long, too.
Such a scam by the NFL.
I mean, everything's a scam. Like, have you seen now, too, like, the NFLPA, the ink is still wet on that deal with FanDuel and DraftKings. And now, like, both are being, like, talked about for insider trading.
It's only a matter of time before they go away. I promise you. They keep on advertising themselves as not gambling sites. Then what is it? Like I put money on the line. If I don't win, I lose.
How is that skill? Picking a point spread, skill different from picking daily fantasy teams? And by the way, the guys who are winning at daily fantasy, guys are pumping out like 1,000 lineups because they're running algorithms and everything.
Like I've yet to win anything on football this year. I'm so bad. I'm like going through all my money.
But until
$1 every time.
Until a ruling comes down, Ryan Matthews will keep pumping out those FanDuel sponsored articles.
You're damn right. I will. Hey, and Reno, if you're having so much trouble, why don't you just ask your mother for some fantasy?
And let me just point out that I'm ahead of my mother right now. Let me just throw that out there.
Oh no.
This podcast is brought to you by FanDuel. Or I mean. Yeah, FanDuel.
It is FanDuel. Yeah. FanDuel is the one.
Join
that's
our week five.
Yes.
Join our week five league for a chance to win $500,000.
Life changing money.
I just had to get that in.
Jeremy, do you have the hyperlink? Can you recite the entire hyperlink on the podcast?
Please. Don't.
HTTP.
Yeah.
No. Just click on my face, even though none of you can see it.
No. Ryan Matthews will have that article up. It's fine. He'll make a joke about the Jaguars or something.
About Ryan Tannehill playing the Jaguars, yep.
Yeah. So, want to move on, but I mean, I look at what happened on Monday, and I'm just, every angle's been taken now. Like, what's left for us to talk about? Like, let's, actually, you know what? Bleep the call. Let's get away from the call for a second. Let's talk about some other ancillaries to the game, because, I mean, outside of that, the defense put up a decent game, even though there was, like, times where it's like, yeah, we've solved Russell Wilson, we're set, the Lions are sacking him, and there were other times where Russell Wilson was just completely burning the Lions for God knows how much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Seahawks offense is complete garbage.
Yes. Like, they have some crisis going on there.
Yeah, they have a lot of problems, but I think the one good thing to take away is that the Lions defense, I would say that it even played a little bit better than just average. I mean, I really liked what Austin was able to do in terms of the pass rush that he was able to get out of basically like third and fourth string players, because Nada wasn't even on the field for most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Walker done for the season. I mean, we had literally the bottom of the barrel out there, and we were able to still generate a pass rush. I mean, Russell Wilson was really...
At some point?
Huh?
Haloti Ngata also left at some point, I believe.
Yeah, he missed a few series in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't think he practiced today either.
He didn't practice today. Travis Lewis didn't practice. Ezekiel Ansah was limited. He's got like a third different injury now. Hedebo's got a quad issue.
Yeah, in case you guys were wondering whether or not... Well, in case you guys were listening to the podcast where Reno was talking about how just absolute, like, below average a pass rusher that Ezekiel Ansah is, I mean, that was on show in Seattle.
I would say he's about average.
Yeah. I mean,
he racks up the numbers, but yeah, I mean, there was a couple of times where he just...
He just happens to be there, and that's why he gets his sacks.
He gets by on athleticism, and really, like, when Wilson was able to make big plays, he was able to break contain and get out of the pocket and just hook up with receivers on like broken plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Ziggy is a phenomenal run stuffer, I'll give him that.
Absolutely.
And really, Seattle's offense was limited to those plays where Russell Wilson would just kind of pull something out of nothing. So
that was truly vintage Terrell Austin that game. Yeah. I mean, we hadn't seen that in the first three games, and I was glad to see that.
But the offense, just 3 points And now I'm starting to get really worried here. We've talked in the past about the offensive line, talked in the past about Matthew Stafford, talked in the past about the run game. I mean, run game's still pretty much dead last in the league, I believe, even though there's like, it's just Abdullah out there now. It's no longer running back by committee, even though I think Riddick got more snaps and Zenner was actually seeing some snaps. So.
Zenner looks pretty good for a bad offensive line.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying. He looked all right.
Who cares? Just give the ball to Zenner. Whatever. We're 0-4.
Feed the white man.
I say just give it to him so that people can see that it's not going to.
Yeah, it's,
just
it's not
quite running him out there. Because what do you have? Two carries? One carry?
Yeah, I mean same thing's happening right now with Abdullah. Same thing's happening now with Abdullah. It's like just run out Abdullah, and now we're seeing like, well, maybe Abdullah wasn't exactly like, maybe he needs some more seasoning because this isn't the back you saw in the preseason.
Yeah, but like I think that every play, every opportunity that Abdullah had out of the backfield, I was pretty impressed with just like how hard he was running. And
that's a tough defense he's going up against too.
Sure. Yeah. And
yeah, I mean,
just
fights
I was
for
having
yards, and it seems like Joik Bell just folds every time.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean, the way that he was running kind of reminded me of Kevin Jones. And like when Kevin Jones was he was a real hard runner. I mean, he didn't really have much of a offensive line to run with either. So I think maybe Abdullah is kind of victim of that too. Warford didn't play last week, right? So I mean,
no, he didn't.
But let's talk about something a little different here, though, and that is I'm starting to see it being floated around about Calvin Johnson. And whether or not, Jeremy, you can probably stage this a little better because you were talking about this a little earlier, I believe.
Whether Calvin Johnson is still Calvin Johnson?
You said it, not me.
That was me, actually.
That was Alex.
Was, but
look, both you
it's
guys
okay.
have curly hair.
Okay.
I don't know.
You want to take it then, Alex? Why don't you start
us
off?
Well, I mean, I forget who mentioned it first, not on this call, but before in this week. I think it was on Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, maybe, was talking about how Calvin Johnson isn't Megatron anymore. And I have to agree with him because I don't think he's the same guy that can catch the ball over like three Bengals receivers anymore. I still think he's a great wide receiver, but I wouldn't consider him Megatron anymore.
I mean, we've been talking a lot about how few times he's been really getting the ball and kind of running out of times. Like, it can't be every game. It's like, oh yeah, he's just getting covered really well, or he's getting covered with two guys. He's in double coverage. It can't just be that, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so like I watched the game on Monday. I mean, I watched the majority of it. I think I only missed a little bit of the third quarter because I was on the way home from the bar. But like, Calvin is still a receiver who lines up on the outside an awful lot. And you have to wonder if maybe it's just a problem of the offensive line providing enough protection for Stafford to let a play develop on the outside long enough for him to get the ball to him. I mean, like, I don't know about you guys. Like, would you consider like Calvin almost kind of treading into that like Larry Fitzgerald territory where like you start like lining him up in the slot and you start like getting him the ball sooner, like after the ball is snapped?
I think you have to move him around. I mean, I was actually kind of happy to see them put him on Kerry Williams more so than Richard Sherman. But still, I mean, he got open that one play and Stafford missed him. I mean,
that's
all
what
right.
I was going to say. I don't know if he can still catch that three guys defending jump ball, because when's the last time Stafford threw him a ball that he could go up and get? I don't think it's happened this year. He tried a couple deep balls on Monday night, but none of them were really catchable. So I don't know.
Is that a Joe Lombardi thing then, do you think, Jeremy?
I don't know.
He kind of just has like the reins on him, or like he's telling him to not take those risks in his offense, or what?
Well, I think it might have to just be something about the routes he's running. Maybe the routes that Johnson's running are just taking too long to really develop now, and Stafford
doesn't seem to
have that
burst.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
I mean,
yeah.
Right.
I think it's definitely, it's got to be a combination of all those things. Offensive line is definitely one of the bigger problems to try and throw that deep ball. Although I thought they actually played a little bit better against Seattle. Although I think that kind of broke down towards the end of the game. But
I was actually speaking of Seattle, like allowing knowing that stuff at the end of the game, I heard a great positive theory about it, was just as far about time of possession. Seattle got tired out on defense. That's why that final drive got put together. It wasn't just because the Lions finally woke up. It's because the Seattle Seahawks had basically been going three and out and constantly giving the ball back from offense, and their defense was out there for, I don't have
don't
the time.
Don't forget
position.
Fourth quarter Stafford.
Yeah, fourth quarter Stafford, sure. I'm just pulling up the box score right now, but I'm pretty sure time of possession, like, I mean, we can talk about that not mattering as much, but time possession that second quarter, that was, the Lions had the ball for a good portion of that time. I think the final possession
There's
number is actually pretty close, but yeah. But yeah, Calvin Johnson, yeah,
I
mean,
overall. I think overall, Calvin really, I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, he probably hasn't been in the top two or three wide receivers in the last couple of years. But it's hard to know right now what's holding him back, whether it's Joe Lombardi, whether it's the offensive line, or whether it's age. We don't see it. We don't see him getting enough touches. We don't see his routes that much, and we don't see the offense clicking enough for him to get enough snaps out there.
And I know the popular whipping boy is Joe Lombardi, and now apparently people have moved on to Caldwell as well, which I don't understand. But yeah, those. What are you two doing? Like, I see you guys on the cam,
that's,
and you're
that's
like
whipping.
They're whipping.
Oh, they're whipping. Okay, I thought you guys were like playing Rocket League or something while we're doing this.
What?
All I'm going to say is those miles add up, and Calvin Johnson, you talk about him bruising his way through, you know, two safeties and a cornerback, that starts to add up on your body in this game. Absolutely, it starts to hurt after a while, and I think it's safe. It's a good question to ask about how banged up is Calvin Johnson.
I don't know, the promise this year was that he was coming in healthier than ever, faster than ever, all that sort of stuff. And
oh yeah, best shape
I gotta
of
say
his life.
The, yeah, and I got
everyone
say
the, best shapes of their lives.
Of course, that's the off-season mantra, but I don't know, for some reason I bought into it at least a little bit since he had been battling injuries the last couple seasons, but I don't know what's going on right now.
I mean, how many catches did he have the first game? Wasn't it, didn't he caught, was it two balls?
Something
at most,
like that.
I don't know. Yeah,
so whatever. I mean, he's got 27 receptions. I mean, essentially through like three games. I mean,
yeah, he's on track for the receptions, but I don't think he's on track for like the big yardage.
No, I mean, he only has 255 yards and a touchdown right now.
Okay, here's his receptions. He had two against San Diego, 10 against Minnesota. His most, he was targeted 17 times there, only targeted five times against San Diego. 8 receptions on 13 targets against Denver, 7 for 11 targets against Seattle.
Yeah, wasn't he once called Big Play CJ? I mean, it seems like he's not getting those big plays.
I'm so glad we don't call him Big Play CJ anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that, because that just seems awkward.
Defenses are just playing him the right way. They're just giving him those 8-yard outs and tackling him right away.
I mean, they're scheming for him, and, you know, in the past he could just bully his way through the scheming, and now he really can.
Sad face.
Can we talk about like Arizona?
Yeah, let's try to move away from this. I know we've got a lot of questions about just doom and gloom about the call and everything else. We'll get to those in time. Let's talk about Arizona.
Okay. Hey, before we talk about Arizona real quick, I'm just on like ESPN's preview page of the Cardinals versus Lions, and it says the Lions record is 1-3, and now I'm all of a sudden incensed I'm ready to put my hand through a wall.
Did we miss an NFL announcement? Did they
give
reverse
the
everything?
By the way, too, is Levy probable?
He's got to be full practice today.
Yeah. Full practice today, which is Wednesday we're recording.
Yeah, on the injury report on ESPN, he's listed as probable, and the Lions have a win. So like, things aren't so bad, guys.
Wow, we stepped to the mirror universe.
It was just
we're three-time defending Super Bowl champions.
I used to read Word Up magazine. All right, whatever.
Stephen A. Smith has scored points on television.
I see what you're seeing. That's the overall record against the spread, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that line was like Seattle minus 9.5 or something like that.
Bummer, bummer. The NFL didn't give us a pity win.
No pity for Detroit.
So, I didn't think much of Arizona in the offseason. I just didn't, because, like, I saw their last
Super Bowl
schedule.
Champs.
I saw their last schedule, their schedule last year. I'm like, this is a dog baby schedule. I know people keep telling me to stop using the term dog baby.
And yeah, but Drew Stanton. I mean, you're not going to go anywhere with Drew Stanton.
Yeah, Drew Stanton.
Hold on. What the hell does dog baby mean?
I don't know. I've never heard that either.
I've never heard that phrase ever in my entire life.
It's ugly. It's like an ugly, just disgusting, kind of just wimpy thing.
We'll take your word for it.
Okay.
It's Southern. I don't know.
Got to be a dog. It's got to be a Southern thing.
Southern. It might have been. I spent just
from Atlanta.
I spent 5 years in Savannah, and like three years in North Carolina. So I've got a little bit of twang to me if I can.
Oh, never boy. Again.
Never again. Just like the Holocaust. Never again.
Oh my God.
Man, this just took a turn for the worse.
Oh, hold on, Ryan. And you want to get a job in public sector and speak with a joke like that.
Hold on, it's not a joke. That's like the phrase that's associated with the Holocaust. One of the survivors said that. Anyway, sure. So the Cardinals are coming to town. Yeah, so Segway.
Brilliant segue.
No, I'm sure no one finds this funny except for us, but I don't care. So the Cardinals, I mean, I didn't think much of them, but I mean, they still have a really good defense, and people keep telling me Carson Palmer. People keep saying he's a good quarterback, and I'll just, yeah, sure, I'll take your word for it.
When he's healthy.
He is third in DVOA from Football Outsiders right now. That's just, I can't do this, guys. I'm sorry, not DVOA, DYAR, defense adjusted yards above replacement, whatever. Either way, he's third right now. I don't know if I can really believe that, but, and I think...
Stats are stats.
They're getting one of their running backs back here soon too, aren't they? Or am I thinking of some
Ellington? Ellington's questionable, Ellington, but who cares? Like literally, if he catches like the breeze from a door that gets open in Ford Field, he'll probably go down again. But they still have Chris Johnson, who I'm totally rooting for. Great. It sucks that he's playing against the Lions this week, but I'm all about CJ2K and even their rookie runner too. David Johnson?
David Johnson, yep.
Yeah, he's a tank of a man. I mean, Bruce Arians.
Northern Iowa, I believe.
Yeah, I think Arians has a history of kind of like keeping the reins on his rookie running backs. He doesn't usually like to let them run free.
So close, like his Kangles.
Yeah, like David Johnson hasn't gotten a whole lot of touches, but when he does touch the ball, he's been scoring.
Yeah.
Arizona third in defense in DVOA, by the way, as well. And just breaking it down here against receivers. Here's the good thing. That's the number one wide, their number one option wide receiver. They're 13th ranked. Against their number two, they are first. And Detroit's been leading on Golden Tate, so that's bad news.
Well, they've been leading with Eric Ebron, and that's even worse news.
Yeah, and Ebron's out. I think he's listed. He's going to be week to week, but word on the street is he's going to be out at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's... I try to take a little bit of optimism going into the Seattle game. I'm having a hard time picking out anything of this game to give us hope other than it's not being played in Seattle.
Or Arizona.
We get our butts kicked in Arizona.
Yeah, can we stop having all these West Coast trips early in the season? This is ridiculous. I mean, I know you like it, Jeremy, but...
I do. But I'd like to also see our team win rather than just see our team.
Well, I mean, at this point, too, like, people have just gotten so negative. There's going to be so many boo birds out there for Sunday. And it's going to be sad.
Well, yeah. Unless the Lions offense somehow manages not to go 3-and-out on their first drive, it's going to get ugly pretty early there.
By the way, this is a 4 p.m. kickoff. Is this, like, are they seriously doing this as, like, Fox's, this isn't Fox's game of the week, is it?
It has to be if it's a 4 o'clock game.
There's usually about three 4 o'clock games, but I never see a 4 o'clock game on the East Coast.
And let me get this in there, too. Kudos to Jeff Risdon for this brilliant stat. I think the Lions are 0-16 in their last 16 games or whatever playing after 1 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was since... I think their last win after 1 o'clock was in 2011.
Well, wait, that doesn't add up. Is it, are the Thanksgiving games always a 1 o'clock kickoff?
It's 12.
For the Lions, it's 12:30.
Oh,
yeah.
it's 12. That's right. Okay.
You didn't that just say sense. The words 0-16, did you?
it's true. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear that number, to be honest. What number was that?
Different situation, but it's 0-16.
That's like the opposite of the Pee-wee's Playhouse word of the day. That's the one that'll send me into horror.
Yeah, it's the trigger word for you.
I'm looking at 9-39 in this century in games starting after 1 p.m.
Jesus Christ.
So the Fox crew isn't the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman crew,
no,
so I don't know
be.
If it's...
Oh, yeah, you bet your ass it is, Jeremy.
No, it isn't. I'm looking at the...
This is going to be the third game week in a row that the Detroit Lions will be on national television. It cannot
it's
be.
Not, it's I'm telling you as a fact. It's Justin Kutcher, Daryl Johnson, and Holly Saunders.
Is that Ashton Kutcher's brother?
Holly Saunders.
Yes.
Can we get confirmation?
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Why not? So, I mean, what else is there to really say? I know the Cardinals lost the Rams, but they drubbed the hell out of the 49ers.
Plus, the Rams always play their divisional opponents tight.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, Arizona, like, this is probably going to their offense. They've been putting up an ungodly amount of points.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Carson Palmer. I mean, maybe. And, you know, the way this team's kind of banged up. I mean, we're talking about really low on defending against the pass for Detroit.
And I hate to say it, but, like, the Cardinals' offense is just the perfect recipe to shred our defense, too. Like, we are going to get murdered. I'm sorry, everybody. But it's just going to happen.
Well, Levy might be back, so...
Well, there's that. I mean, Levy, at least, you hope that Levy coming back stops the dink and dunk up the middle. But, I mean, there's still problems.
It's certainly going to help. It's going to help. In pass coverage, for sure, because we saw again last week Tolik become a liability again in that role. So I do think, you know, since kind of working off of that Seattle game, I do think the Lions defense will be better. I don't think they'll quite get shredded by Arizona, but I don't think they're going to stop them like they stopped Denver and they stopped Seattle, because both those offenses, like Reno pointed to earlier, aren't quite as good as maybe they're perceived to be from last year.
I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at, like, box scores. 31 points against the Saints, 48 against the Bears, 47 against the 49ers, 22 against the Rams. Granted, two of those teams are really bad, and the Saints are kind of a little busted up themselves.
Yeah, I don't really think any of those defenses are that good, so, I mean, I guess we'll have to see now.
The Lions' pass defense isn't good.
And I didn't realize their schedule's like that. But let's point that out now. So they've beaten the 49ers, they've beaten the Bears, and they've beaten the Saints.
The Saints at home, I should mention, too.
So those are 3-1-3 teams.
They played the Saints in Arizona, is what I mean by
that. It's a valid point.
Yeah.
So they've beaten 3-1-3 teams and lost to a 2-2 team.
And St. Louis has always been historically a team who's played every NFC West opponent really strong.
Yeah, no, I can never figure out the Rams. Like, they are the enigma of the NFL.
So random.
It's because Jeff Fish is their coach.
One week they'll just lay down and take, and the next they're suddenly, like, pulling out, like, these crazy plays out of nowhere, and Nick Foles is going off, and I don't understand the Rams.
Todd Gurley, man.
You know what? I hate it because I have some friends who are Rams fans in St. Louis, and now I kind of root for them to go to L.A. Because if they're good in L.A., man, that would be a fun team to cheer for.
Right, and they're a crazy franchise. They not only are they just schizophrenic on the field, but they literally light their own field on fire. So who knows what to expect from them week for week?
I mean, they practically belong in L.A.
Bring him over here with all the crazies.
Do we have good fan questions this week?
We do have some questions. You want to get to this? I think we should get to this before our 10 minutes of... We're doing something called 10 Minutes of Nonsense this week. We're just going to look at stupid videos. And we have some stuff here to show the group, including Bill's Mafia, once again, drunk as hell. And another one here that I've made sure Jeremy doesn't watch about some delicious bacon jalapeno mac and cheese. That's the only hint. But let's get to the questions first. First off, I just want to say we have a lot of questions here that are once again variants on how badly do you want to fire Joe Lombardi? And a lot of questions that are just moping around and like, why did I become a Lions fan in the first place?
Let's just do a quick
poll. You were born into it. Don't leave now.
I wasn't born into it. And the rest of my family aren't Lions fans.
Get out of here then.
Yeah, you're a self-deprecating man, Chris.
I don't even remember how. You know what? I think I became a Lions. I keep saying this. I could have been a Steelers fan in another life. All my cousins from Pittsburgh, they kept pushing me.
Shout out and to I'm Le'Veon like, Bell.
Le'Veon Bell, I'm sure, is getting you plenty of fantasy points so you can lose to your mother.
Oh boy.
All right.
Reno, if you were standing, sit down.
I'm second place that week now, guys.
That was a verbal RKO right there.
out of nowhere.
Anyway, let's see some of these questions. Let's see here. So, how was the Seattle? This is actually one's for you, Jeremy. This one, the first one's for you. How was the Seattle fan base? Not too much in your face afterwards, were they?
No, they weren't actually. I think they could see the blank, despondent stare on me. I literally sat still in my seat for probably about 20 minutes, and that's not an exaggeration, while the stadium filled out. And I kind of touched on this on my piece that I wrote literally in the SeaTac airport, where more people came up to me and just felt sorry for me. And I,
by the way, let's add a qualifier to that. You were stranded in SeaTac, like your flight to LAX had been like canceled.
No, I missed it.
Oh, you missed it.
Because I'm
okay.
An idiot. Yeah, I'm an idiot and thought it was 9:30. It was 9:15. We got at the airport about 8:30.
People were coming up to you and like saying sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, well, all right. Here's the first thing. No one in the stadium knew that the Lions got quote unquote screwed. I just thought the Lions did something very Lions like. And fumbled at the 1 yard line and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I'm sitting in my seat for 20 minutes. I walk out and everyone's just like, hey, man, you guys almost won. That means nothing to me. And then as I'm walking out towards the bars, who were, you know, a bunch of fans out there watching the game on ESPN, suddenly a bunch of people are saying, you guys got screwed. I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Thinking he's just talking about, you know, one of the best players in the league fumbling at the most inopportune time. And then finally, and this is where I actually randomly came across Chris Tomke again at just this random Irish bar, the one furthest from the stadium so we could be away from the Seattle Seahawks fans, but, you know, a nice enough divey bar where I could just drink my sorrows away. And Chris Tomke is telling me all these things that happened, and sure enough, they have ESPN playing and they're showing me all the league rules and all this crap. So, back to the original question, Seahawks fans, they're super nice. The whole city is full of really nice people, and I hated it. I didn't want them to be nice to me. I wanted to.
Yeah, it feels like just once again internet tough guys that just kind of change attitudes. Like people always say Seahawks fans are annoying. I've just never had that encounter.
No, and the stadium is definitely as loud as they make it out to be. At the very beginning of the game, on the last drive of the game, it was like my ears were ringing pretty good after that one.
The record-breaking crowd.
69,005.
Nice.
Nice.
69. I mean, I like the Pacific Northwest, too. I lived in Vancouver for 2 years. It's just a beautiful place. They were showing Gruden catching fish on the Monday Night Football broadcast, too, which is, yeah.
Gruden. I can't stand Gruden.
Next question. What's your take on the long-term viability of the Packers? Oh, I should probably mention who all these questions are coming from. So that first one about the Seattle fans was from Johnny T. I'm assuming we have no questions from Facebook. Facebook and I'm not, and I probably shouldn't look there, right?
I wouldn't look there. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get the worst questions.
Okay. Harrington HOF. Love the name, by the way.
Oh, no.
What's
got a good point.
What's your take on the long-term viability of the Packers? Are they shackled to Aaron Rodgers, or is there a decent talent on that team elsewhere? I'm not really sure how to really... The Packers are basically, outside of Rodgers, an average team. They're a replacement-level team. I think I looked it up. They're like 15th overall in stats as far as their offensive line. Their defense has a couple of cool pieces on it, like Clay Matthews. Who, by the way, I can't stand Clay Matthews. Like, this is the one guy I just cannot tolerate. And
you ain't Russell Wilson?
Yeah, that drove me the wrong way. Like, that just, it's, once again, it's become pig. Like, just, never mind. That's a rant for another day. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. That's what it is. That's what Green Bay is right now, is Aaron Rodgers.
Pretty nice player to be shackled to.
No, absolutely. Like, we can put it to bed right now. He is, like, right now, on his own, forget any weapons he has, the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't want to hear about Tom Brady. We saw what happened once you took Gronkowski away from him last year.
I think, yeah, I think they're definitely tied to Aaron Rodgers, unless they do what they did with Brett Favre and just hire or draft the next Aaron Rodgers. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Going off of that, they are a good drafting team.
Well, here's the thing, too, about that, about getting Aaron Rodgers, if I may. Never forget, they lucked out on that because the 49ers decided, no, we're not going to go with the guy who's been in this pro offense from the Pac-12. We're going to go with Alex Smith as our pick. We're going to go with Alex Smith, who played in the pistol. We're going to go with that over the logical choice. And then Aaron Rodgers falls to the Packers.
Alex Smith is garbage.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, can we say, like, okay, like, oh, are the Packers shackled to Aaron Rodgers? Man, that's one thing I'd love to be shackled to.
Yes,
pause.
All of
pause.
Us.
Pause. But how old is Aaron Rodgers? He's like 30, right?
No.
He's still
fairly
young.
He's 30, 31.
Be about that.
So another 6-7 years 31. Of Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL? Oh, shucks, man. Packers fans, I feel so bad for him. They're stuck with Aaron Rodgers for the next 7 years.
I mean, it doesn't matter how bad their defense is when they have Aaron Rodgers right now.
No, it doesn't matter. Their defense is terrible.
11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Yeah,
enough
all
said.
They really need is basically an average offensive line. Just not terrible offensive line. Average. Enough time to keep Aaron Rodgers upright to find whoever. Like, we were talking about in the preseason. Everyone was talking about, oh, yeah, Packers are screwed about Jordy Nelson. No, because Aaron Rodgers makes his weapons. He fashions them.
I was saying it too. It was just all hope.
Okay, and he's engaged to Olivia Munn, so I mean he stays winning in all realms of life.
Who would you take, Olivia Munn or Kelly Stafford?
This is such an important question, and the only correct answer is Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Olivia Munn too.
I don't know, I love those really pale white girls, so I'm gonna go with Kelly Stafford.
I'm just gonna plead the fifth on this one.
All right. So,
and hopefully my wife isn't going to listen to this later.
I was gonna say this just in, folks. Alex Marino is also into Avril Lavigne because she's a super pale white
girl.
Well,
no, not every single pale chick out there.
This just in: Alex Marino is a skater boy.
And I said, see you later, boy.
What do you? Next question. Actually, this is another Harrington HOF question. I hate to. I'm trying to limit this to one person, so we just kind of go along here with multiple things. So let me just dock that one. That's a good question, though. What do you think is the best way to utilize a three-headed monster at running back? First off, pause.
Wait, three-headed monster? Who?
At running back.
I'm assuming
Is Zenner one of the heads of the
I think he is.
This isn't Hydra. The heads aren't regenerating.
Hell, Hydra. Zach Zenner is obviously the biggest monster on that running
back.
He's
a savior. Point. He is the great. He is a great hope. You would even say.
I still. If I'm going to take this question a little seriously, I would like to see a little more two running back sets, or at the very least.
Oh, for sure, it's worked when they tried.
Yeah, or at least throw a running back out there in the slot or something. because obviously Theo has shown his value as a receiver, and if you put Theo and Abdullah out there, like, I know really early in the game, my buddy and I saw Abdullah out there in the slot and saw a linebacker lined up with him. We're just like, they're going to him on this play. Sure enough, he cuts inside, picks up like 15.
This kind of devolves into another question we had from Morgado 01. How hard would it be to replace the current run scheme?
Not very hard.
They had some power blocking scheme last year, didn't they? So why did they completely switch over to a zone blocking scheme?
Well, I think Lombardi addressed this a little bit and said, like, we do a little bit of both pretty much all the time.
He's got everything there, I guess. He's running a gumbo. He just has a little bit of everything. There's not one thing they don't do.
This just completely confuses me. Like, I don't see how you can draft Lake and Tomlinson Manny Ramirez is basically the only zone blocker on the offensive line. But how can you have... how can you have an entire offensive line built to play a power block scheme and just have Lombardi basically throwing zone runs like 100% of the time? It just... The disconnect between the GM and Joe Lombardi right now is ridiculous.
Yeah, and we've had some other questions here. If you fired Joe Lombardi, how would you replace him? I mean,
Mr. Cooter.
I'd hire Alex Reno.
I gladly accept this job.
If we're talking mid-season replacement, you got to go with someone in-house and kind of use it as like a tryout.
I think you have to go with Cooter because he is in-house and it's like the only guy you can really put in there. I mean, I think no matter what, you're not going to get the results you want. Because you still have the scheme that just doesn't work right now.
We've talked about this enough. We're like, you can fire Lombardi all you want to make you feel better. Nothing's going to change because.
Yeah, I think no matter what, it's just not going to be pretty.
Yeah, but couldn't you just have Caldwell take over the offense?
But you're still running all the plays that Lombardi wrote. Like
exactly, and I don't think anybody liked Caldwell as a play caller before anyway.
Yeah, Caldwell, I mean, he play called in
Baltimore.
In Baltimore, sure, but I mean,
didn't they win a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, he play called for like 6 games.
Oh, okay.
And granted, some of those
men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Plus, we cannot forget that Joe Flacco is elite.
Elite in the playoffs only.
Sometimes. I actually remember watching him last year. Who were they playing last year in the playoffs? The Ravens. They were playing...
Was it the Broncos? I don't know.
No. The Bengals didn't win a playoff game to get far enough for that.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah, because the Ravens lost, and there's no chance the Bengals still haven't won a playoff game. I think it was the Broncos, but Joe Flacco was leading a comeback at one point, and then the next moment, and, it was falling apart.
I like to call him Joe Flaccid, not safe for work.
Yeah, pause.
I think that's supposed to go before the statement.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
One last question, and we'll get on to the 10 minutes of nonsense to close out this. Dwayne Garrison 09 asks, here's a question. How bad will Arizona beat us?
Pretty badly, I guess.
Yeah.
I have the website answer, and it should be check out our weekly predictions page that we post each week.
Check to see who Brian Packey picks against the spread for Lions Cardinals. Which I believe that spread is right now. What is that spread right now?
I think the last time I checked, I think the Lions are getting 3.
They're getting 3?
Yeah.
No, actually, Arizona's... They're a home dog. Right now, it's Arizona minus 2.5. And 90%
really? I
on
bet
Arizona
on, that.
On the spread.
But then again, I said to bet on BYU against Michigan, and I was 100% wrong.
Yeah. Shout out to Michigan now. 2 weeks in a row, they've thrown shutouts. Which is
Michigan State, 0-5 against the spread.
Yeah, my 5-0 football podcast, and my co-host is Sparty, and he was like, "Yeah, don't bet on us at all."
Hey, I still have faith it's all injuries, and you know what? They're going to win. So
hey, so the Lions question you asked, how bad are the Cardinals going to beat the Lions? As bad as they want to beat them.
I'm going to watch that game because I have to do like the recaps anyway, and I'm just going to like see, this is the first game where I'm actually going to seethe at any losing because I cannot stand the idea of Carson Palmer being a good quarterback.
Carson Palmer.
I just can't. Like, it makes no sense to me, and I'm just going to seethe as he takes apart a secondary or targets. I don't even know if Rasheen Mathis is going to play, but, I mean, I'm just going to seethe. It's going to be bad because this is the first time that I might actually be angry at a Lions loss in a long time.
Really?
Because I can't
do that. You weren't after that game on
Come
Monday.
On, man. I mean, yeah, you have I to wasn't. Have some sort of heart.
I have no... I've reached the mountaintop. I have achieved nirvana.
Whoa, that's weird because...
You are the finale.
Yeah, I'm going to come down from the mountain on Carson Palmer.
When I saw that ball get punched out by Cam Chancellor, just 100 pure, unadulterated, unbridled laughter was coming out of my mouth as loud as I can, and it was the most honest laughter in the entire world because I couldn't do anything else. If I did anything else, I was gonna find the nearest human being and choke them out because I just it was my only release. Like all of the emotion from my toes to my throat was just put out into laughter.
I'm a very intense person. I will just say this: I don't have, even though I'm intense, I don't have a lot of genuine anger. And when it is, it's reserved for something like Dallas, Detroit in the playoffs. Like then I was angry. Then no one could talk with me for 2 weeks, like because that game actually mattered in the grand scheme.
I mean, 0-3 though, this mattered to me.
Yeah, to me, if these were two regular season games with the exact same scenarios, I think this game was worse. And maybe that's because I was there in that end zone as it happened.
I completely agree, and I was not there.
You know what? I can understand that. I can understand. I'm just saying I've apparently become a Lions Vulcan or something.
You are.
Because, like, the Seahawks game, they were there. They were at the inch-yard line, basically. Yep. I mean, even the pass interference, there was no guarantee that we were going to get a touchdown or score.
But we're the Detroit we were Lions. There. It was going to happen.
And Justin Rogers tweeted out saying, how is this drive going to end? And I said, expect? Well, I think it's going to be a fumble. And it happened.
Yeah.
So it's your fault.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
No. Yeah. Right. Everybody attack at @Alex_Reno.
He ruined my entire trip. You owe me like $800.
Originally, this is where Chris played audio of a drunk college kid at Connecticut demanding bacon, jalapeno, mac and cheese. Unfortunately, technical problems made this part incredibly shitty. So we are skipping ahead now to bring you talk about drunk food.
I don't want to turn this into a bigger issue, but how many of us did embarrassing things when we were drunk and it didn't get filmed and put on the internet?
Like,
I feel a little bit of sympathy for this guy, even though he's clearly a big dick.
Yeah, I mean, and again, he's been kicked out before for this stuff. This is an issue for him. So, but I will just say this: when you are drunk and you really want a certain food item, you will find a way to get it. Goddammit. Like, you will go out and go through any lengths. Like, understand that. I was in Wake Forest for 2 years, and like a battle cry every Friday around 2 a.m., it would be, let's go get some cookout. And the reason was because cookout was open until 4 a.m. A lot of Michigan people listening and saying, what's cookout? Cookout is an amazing place where you can get a corn dog or chicken nuggets as a side item.
Because everybody wants a corn dog.
I mean, look, when you're that drunk, that sounds like a good idea.
Here comes a hot take. Corn dog greater than hot dog.
No.
Oh, finally, it took us 65 minutes. We finally got back to food on this podcast.
I mean, that's where
POE, pizza over everything.
This podcast needs to start and end with food.
Well,
I'm gonna throw my hat into the ring for like the 2020 elections when Kanye is running. And I think my stance is gonna be hot cakes, not hot takes.
I like that. You know, you should just put that on your Twitter profile right now. hot
cake. Yeah, take out the wings enthusiast in your Twitter profile, because that is just garbage.
Why? Does that intimidate you, Alex?
No, it doesn't intimidate me. It's
is just there something
useless.
About wings that intimidate you?
What are you even saying right now?
Why are you stumbling over your words? Are you intimidated right now just thinking about wings? Now he's just in shock and awe. He's in oh silence, God. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is a death stare.
I think that's
I'm done. I'm done. Right I mean, now. We let's everybody on this podcast knows that pizza's better than wings, so it's, there's just no reason for me to even talk anymore.
I'm still team sub, but
yeah, you're the only person.
Yeah, you're the
United
only
States
one.
I know, because I actually like I make like I'm telling you, Italian sub. There's nothing to beat it.
It's just you and Jared Fogel. Hashtag too soon.
Oh no,
God,
Jeremy, come on, man.
Oh my, so much for my budding career doing this kind of stuff, this journalism.
So we managed to hit on the Holocaust, Jared Fogel. Is there anything else that we want to get on here that
well, we just had about like
just
three
offend like
of,
everybody?
Yeah, we just had 3 minutes of like homophobic lace tirade with enough F-bombs to ruin the world.
Listen, this is a Detroit Lions podcast. If you aren't looking for something offensive, you're probably looking in
and
the wrong
on,
place.
Exactly. And what are we supposed to talk about when our team is 0-4 and we just had like the worst luck in the history?
Yeah, and I don't
whatever.
Want to be. I just don't want to be that podcast like beating on like. We've
and
covered
the Lions
Joe,
are the opposite
covered
of
Joe Lombardi
right
enough.
Now.
Like we covered Joe Lombardi enough when we said we're not going to retread anything we write. And guess what? A lot of the stuff we're writing is about how bad the team is. So that leaves us with very little else. And I don't want to get into fire this guy talk. It's just silly. But let's end it here. Can we? Or are you guys going to talk about pizza again?
We no. should, but you can end it.
No, nobody wants to talk about pizza.
Get out of here.
All right. I'm Chris Lemieux, at Malkovich Playing on Twitter. Ryan, go ahead.
I'm Ryan at Ryan _ POD. Sorry, guys. I'm thinking about wings. But yeah, I'm at Ryan _POD. Follow me.
Alex?
Alex Reno, you can follow me at Alex _Reno.
Fearless leader.
That would be me, Jeremy Reisman. You can follow me at Pride of Detroit, or a little less censored at Detroit Online.
Very clever. We'll see you all next week here, and yeah, I don't know. We'll try to make a little more sense, maybe.
Hopefully after a win.
L'chaim.
There you go.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.